to a new episode of Where Was the Shower? I'm Mark Carlaw, joined by Zachary Stevenson.
I'm Zachary Stevenson.
You are Zachary Stevenson, it's true. And Rob Runciman.
I'm Bobby Monroe.
Well, you know what, like, when we started this, I couldn't say your surname. Could you remember I had to ask you what your surname was? Like, how to say it. And I've known you for how many years?
Runciman.
Monroe would do, I think.
But you used to be in the band, the Monroes, didn't you?
That's right, yeah.
What is Bobby
Monroe.
And Bobby Monroe.
The band called Bobby Monroe.
Yeah, we put your song as you played us out, hasn't it? In fact, it'll play us out again tonight. Just to clarify that. How are you two anyway? You all right?
I'm pretty good, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We're back in Hitler's bunker, aren't we, again?
Yeah.
Which is, it's actually, I like it out there.
Which is worse, Hitler's bunker or Fritz's bunker?
I'd say
Fritzels.
Well,
the bunker itself, I suppose, yeah. Not the person, they're both pretty bad.
Yeah, and also, like, it was just Hitler and his missus in the bunker, wasn't it?
And, well, there were some of the Nazis in there as well, weren't there?
Well, they were hanging out.
What are we talking about? Yeah.
This is a football show.
Yeah.
I'm really gone off football recently. I'm tempted just to, can we just talk about tennis or something?
Talk about Nazis.
Nazis and tennis.
Sharks and Nazis.
Yeah.
And make Ricky Gervais happy.
I mean,
do you want to start off with West Ham then, Mark?
Well, no, I don't want to go into West Ham. Obviously, I know we're a West Ham fan. I'm not, you know, do you know what? We'll talk about Bournemouth or anything. Weekend score.
I think they deserve it, don't they? I
mean, definitely.
I saw the highlights and Bournemouth could have had 7 or 8.
Yes. How dare you?
I just saw the highlights as well.
It was amazing.
No, I do agree. They were fantastic, actually. They made us. I mean, we were poor, but they were brilliant.
What's amazing about that guy, you know, that Callum Wilson got the hat trick. It's amazing these guys, they keep making a step up. The goal scorers do.
Yeah.
Austin did it last year. Yeah. And that's only the early days, but great to see him banging a hat trick. Or not, obviously not great for us.
Yeah. I mean, I will say,
you know what? Sorry to interrupt there. Right, I think that this might be an important aspect of our next subject later on. About the popularity of players, that English players often aren't being given a chance. You know what I mean? And people are investing in foreign players.
And there's a weird thing, isn't it, with the price? I mean, we'll get into this later.
Yeah.
We'll get into this later. All right, we'll talk about this later. But yeah, weekend, there's still a bit of a weekend roundup. I mean, as I say, Bournemouth, congratulations to them. I'm pleased they got their first points of the ball and gutted it against us, but I am pleased for. And Eddie Howe, like, he's such a diamond of a manager, isn't it? It's nice to see him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he seems so genuine. Like,
I said before the start of the season, I think Bournemouth will do well. Just because the style of football they play. I mean, they played really well at Liverpool last week.
I've got a feeling they might do a Blackpool. I think they might do a quick start. I think, like, after Christmas, I think they might really start
fighting. You're running adrenaline, aren't you, at the start?
I would say
the squad doesn't have the quality long over the course of the whole season. I could be wrong, but I think they'll struggle as the season goes on.
If you make a prediction now,
often that early enthusiasm can, a couple of defeats happen and then they all start to question themselves.
It sinks in, doesn't it?
We'll see. I'd love to see them survive. You know, I've got quite a lot of friends from Bournemouth. You've
got friends everywhere, though. Newcastle,
Mr.
Liverpool.
Popular.
We never see any of these friends. That's what I mean. You can't just count people, you know, just because you've been there.
Well, West Ham always had a good link with Bournemouth, haven't we?
Rio Defoe
went there on loan, broke records.
I'm glad they so it's nice that they came up and kicked our asses and made us look like complete knobs. Yeah, it's great. Also, Chelsea got their first win, should I say.
I didn't see all of that match, but I actually, there's a lot of good things and bad things about it. They seem a lot more fragile this season defensively than they were last season, but they seem to be a bit more flair there, especially maybe Pedro certainly seems to inject some flair now.
I'm thinking
well, I wish they did buy him, United, but I mean, they were, you know, flying down the wings and it was almost
I think they had to win that game, though. I think they really had to win it, because I think two draws to open in two games is not acceptable for Chelsea. I think it was
the draw and defeat.
So I think they were under pressure to win. Absolutely. And Mourinho, when he has to win, will win, won't he?
If they'd lost that match or even drawn, they'd be 7-8 points behind City already.
It's already a big ask, then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange. They've not started the season as I thought they would. Chelsea. I really thought they'd grip the season. I mean, I know obviously we're three games in. It's really early doors. You can't start predicting. But
for the first game in Swansea, weren't at the races. When you have a man sent off, it changes everything, doesn't it?
And
the second one there, away at Man City, who looked like they've really,
about having the player sent off in the first game is that when you get a goalkeeper sent off, it's doubly impactful because you lose a player, and then you've got to make a substitution to bring a goalkeeper on. You know,
and it's a killer, and it is.
I wouldn't read too much into their slow start.
But the problem is, as you say, Man City, you know, they won 2-0 at Everton
really quickly, haven't they? I mean,
well, yeah, they look angry, don't they? They
to
won
be honest,
title,
though, on the other hand, on every club will lose games, and to be honest, Everton could have been 2 or 3 goals up in the first half. Some of the chances they had. I mean,
are we talking against City?
Against City, on Sunday. I mean, Lukaku seemed like a handful, and I think he had a goal that was disallowed, wasn't it? And, it was touch and go on the offside.
And he's actually looking like a half decent striker this season. Last season he wasn't too wonderful. I know he did all right in the Europa.
He scored goals though.
Yeah, I mean, but
then City had that title winning thing within the second half. They got it together. Obviously the team talk at half time had an impact, and they looked fairly solid after half time.
Well,
you knew they were going to score at some point, even with some unlikely sources, Kolarov and less so Nasri.
That's right. The amount of times I've gone and watched West Ham in the past, we play one of the teams at the top, and they've West had chances in the first half. You think,
but you know, they're going to pay for it.
And then the second half, a City or Liverpool and Arsenal United pick them off. They win 2-1. You know, and they're
well,
going.
Well, the thing is,
points.
That's why when you're playing against a like Everton, will feel that if you miss those chances, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for it. You've got
one or two. Always get one or two. It's just to take them. These teams.
The reality is, you're not going to get many against these teams. You're probably only going to get 3 chances for maybe a game, like decent chances.
Less. You get one or two.
Yeah, you're right. And so if you don't take them, and if you have especially decent chances,
I think just as a side note, I was quite impressed by Barkley in the first half against City.
He played well last week as well.
He was really vibrant. I mean, he got the ball and he seemed to really want it, and he was just. I only watched half of the first half of that one, so he was making really thrusting runs.
Well, because he's had a bit of negative press, isn't he, really, Barkley? Because he started off when he hit the scene with Everton, everyone was saying this is the next, well, not Rooney, but
Gerrard, you know, more like
And I don't think that last season he quite sort of hit the level that people expected him. So I think he has got a little bit of pressure on him. It's nice to see him actually playing.
It's good to see him playing him back in England. Yeah. Got to do the same.
Well, we need him for England. You know, we need that sort of quality player.
Off the bench, you need him in there. Yeah. Who else are they going to play? You know, they've got to back him and stop criticising him, which I see all the time.
Absolutely,
And that's a bit knackers a player, doesn't it? It's
like Sterling, they want to knock him all the time. I think he's blinding, by the way.
Lovely balls for Kolarov for their first goal as well. The reverse pass.
Well, we've slated
him. Really good. He hasn't hit the heights that we've seen before so far.
He's given them
pace and width, and he's made a massive difference for them.
Yeah.
Like anyone said, he's going to be a top buyer for City.
Really, yeah.
Not money, but he's 20, was he 20, 21?
Yeah, you can see why they spent.
He's better than him at that age in Europe.
And then obviously then we're going to United. I think we've got to talk about nil-nil, not the end of the world, but what would you think?
Second half, Hal said that it was one of the best performances he's seen. I think he's being a bit over gracious, but I thought they played fairly well, and I thought on another day
this
could have won 3 or 4-0
onside.
Yeah, I mean, and Smalling's header hitting the post, and a great, I think Krul made the second most saves he's ever made in a Premier League game.
Seven
saves, I think. So I mean, you know, United would be okay. I think I would really like to see a top striker.
Exactly.
It's unlikely that it's going to happen. Maybe Ibrahimovic. I mean, who knows? But I think they'd be okay. I'd really like to see them give Wilson the goal though, because especially when they're struggling for goals, James Wilson. How is he ever going to develop if he doesn't get games in the first team?
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know. But don't you rate Hernandez?
I do rate Hernandez, but I just think there's something about
him.
I think he's always he. I'd like to see him be the United's new Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, if he's happy to stay there and come on and score crucial goals, who's to say he might not score the winner of the Champions League?
Well, he's got the ability to.
I think it's fantastic.
But when he first started at United, he was like his dream move, wasn't it? And he really seemed to have a real desire to to score for United, didn't he? And when he did, he was actually doing the world to them.
You know, I mean, I'm a United fan, and I kind of care about the welfare of the players, as me sounding altruistic. But if Hernandez isn't happy being on the bench, then he'll have to go somewhere else, because I can't see him ever being first choice.
East London is supposed to be very nice.
yeah. I mean, he'd be fantastic for any club, really. Wouldn't he?
Yeah,
I mean,
apparently
he went to Real Madrid and he scored goals in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And
he's a top player.
He's a quality finisher, you know.
And obviously Newcastle under McLaren, it's not a good result for them.
A good result, and I think they could have even snatched it.
That Mitrovic looks good.
Oh, when they broke at the end, wasn't it? When they broke at the end, Newcastle.
They were
the whole pub was literally, because obviously United were throwing everything to get this win, and when they broke,
they had it, didn't they?
Oh, Cisse, wasn't it? Totally made a balls up of it, but I generally could see them scoring.
I think that Mitrovic looks a real threat.
He does.
He had that header against the bar, didn't he? Just his all-round game,
a
lot about him.
Absolutely. And Wijnaldum looks tasty as well, you know. I think he's... good player.
I think they'll be all right. Like
I said, I said a couple of weeks ago that I think they'll do all right. You know,
the table.
You know, McLaren.
Yeah, I think McLaren, and
he's a decent manager, isn't he? You know, I think he's been the subject of some derision because he's done some comical things with the Dutch accents and stuff. And I think sometimes that takes away from your manager.
Is that like you do with the Irish accent? Like this?
My fake Irish accent. Actually, I'm from Kensington. No, I think Newcastle will be okay, and I think United will be okay.
So. Mm, indeed. There's a subject you want to talk about.
There is, yeah. Now, this is a strange subject because it might sound like I'm... it's specifically about one country, and it might sound like I'm taking away some of the credit from them, but Belgian players... my question is, are Belgian players in general as good as they're being made out to be? I mean, they've got a lot of quality. Obviously, Hazard, you know. Mm. I mean, you've got Benteke, you've got Nangolan and Kompany and Courtois. And throughout the team, they've got quality. But it seems... Yeah. If you're Belgian now, you get another zero added to your transfer sort of fee.
What players are you talking about that you think are overrated?
Is Kevin De Bruyne worth £50 million?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, there's always something wrong with him because Chelsea let him go. So yeah. They would not oversee a sale of a player of his quality.
I've seen a bit of him, obviously in the World Cup, and then just a bit of Bundesliga highlights. He looks a very good player, but yeah, I'd say 50-odd million looks outrageous.
I mean, I genuinely get the impression that if he wasn't Belgian, he wouldn't be talking about that price tag.
If he was English, he'd be double with that. English is ridiculous.
When we were talking about discussing the subject, I mentioned that, you know, after the World Cup in 2002, African players became very much in vogue because Senegal did quite well.
Yeah.
And you got sort of players that might not otherwise have got an opportunity to play in the Premier League. They were African, so come to bind them. French players after the 2000 European Championships. Every club was just buying a lot of French players.
Yeah.
And it's just I do think that the nationality is often in vogue, and players get an opportunity at bigger clubs. And obviously they have to be a good player, and you take the opportunity with two hands. But I sometimes think that your nationality can play a big part.
I'll give you what you say about French players. I think a hell of a lot of average French players that come to the Premier League off the back of that great French side of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, there was a couple of that was
I think about the Belgian players, and most of them are internationals, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean,
they're in and around the national side. I think those French players, there's still a lot of them coming in.
Yeah,
maybe they're just having their time. You know, their time is now. They seem to have maybe a bit of luck in terms of the breed of their footballers at the moment. They seem to be producing. You know, if you look at their squad, I thought they'd done a lot better at the World Cup than they did. You know what I mean? Like you look at their squad.
But that's the thing as well. That's part of my point is that the perception of a player's quality, it's not directly necessarily correlated to their achievements. You know. I mean, like, Benteke's done well. He's playing at Villa, you know. I mean, and everyone talks about Belgium outsiders for the World Cup last year. I never thought they were outsiders for the World
Where's
Cup.
Lukaku?
I thought, you know, Lukaku,
yeah,
again,
he's
decent.
Belgium, isn't he?
You know, Fellaini, you know, I mean, so...
Januzaj,
yeah. All good players.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not
really
disputing they're all good players, really good players.
Yeah.
But I just think sometimes that people get carried away with someone's nationality.
I'll tell you one overrated player, not just saying because he plays for Spurs, I think the other guy at Spurs is brilliant. Alderweireld's brilliant centre-half, but Vertonghen for me has been poor for 2 years. You know, and he gets linked with massive moves like Barcelona and stuff, doesn't he?
And
Marlon went to Barcelona. How's he a Barcelona?
Exactly. Would Thomas Vermaelen be a Barcelona if he wasn't Belgian? That's another example.
That's a good point.
Seriously, yeah, if he's French.
But then, are we missing players? Are there players in other nationalities? Are there French players at the moment that are simply being overlooked? Are there, you know, Dutch players that are, you know, being overlooked?
It's quite a frivolous subject, really. But I think it's just a case of, like, my point is that basically, Belgian players are trendy. Yeah.
I'll tell you what,
look good.
The big point on the back of that is that British players are just ridiculous.
Okay. Dressed badly.
We're talking about touching it earlier with Callum Wilson getting that hat-trick. Now, Callum Wilson, I know West Ham were looking at him last year, but they want that £12 million for him. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys only played Championship, they might well be worth that.
Yeah.
Jordan Rhodes.
£15 million. £15 million for Jordan Rhodes.
Ross McCormack, wasn't it?
Ross McCormack went for £11 million. He's done a good job, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he scored four goals last season. Fucking hell, well worth the 11.
So let's
I think it might have been £13 million, wasn't it?
I think it might be. You might be right, but it was... And that's between Championship and... Which shows, actually, it's good...
But the other side of the coin as well is that, you know, sort of... inflated transfer fees between English clubs is just mental as well. No matter where you're from, the transfer fees between Italian clubs seem to be an awful lot less, and German.
That's right. Look at John Stones. He looks like he's going to go for 40-odd million now. And I love John Stones.
Yeah.
He could well be absolutely similar to Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're linked to a £40 million centre half, you're expecting to have, like, really done it at top level, Champions League,
or
a great World Cup or something.
No, do you know what, I quite like the big fees for the younger players, though, because it shows that's going to be a future main player. Like, he'll be the next John Terry,
Francis Jeffers.
You know, they'll actually get him in. The next Francis Jeffers. Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, how much did Alderweireld cost Tottenham? Was it about 10 or something like that?
Good point, I mean,
the guy, like, is top drawer.
Yeah.
He's the best centre half in the league last year, I thought.
There's definitely a problem with English fees that moment.
I think he just
English
didn't
players.
Want to go back to Southampton, didn't he?
I was hoping they'd get it done for that, because apparently there was a deal, wasn't there, in his contract of when he went on. I don't know. There was something a little bit dodgy about that.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that comes and bites him in the arse.
what I was going to say was it makes the point, why don't more English players play for foreign teams, like continental teams?
A few have gone to Italy recently, but yeah.
Ashley Cole,
but he went, let's be honest, in Twilight's career, a bit of money, I think. I don't think he's doing great out there.
Manchin went and played.
I think his
contract's
just been terminated last week.
Is it really?
Ashley Cole, yeah.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
We need a left back.
Yeah,
we
should get him in.
Yeah,
that pressure will be alright.
Yeah, what confuses me is the fee that has been floating around now for English players. It's really astronomical, isn't it? Like, if you think of, like, oh, we were talking earlier, weren't we, your fair about Charlie Austin, and they're saying 15 million, but you think better abroad. You could, like, you know, you could get a better striker.
The only thing is, you just know what you're going to get with him. Like, you just know what sort of performance you're going to get each week. Whenever you buy a player from abroad,
and he knows the league,
especially South America, you're always a bit dubious.
Yeah, it could be a great hit, but more often than not, they're not as. You get more sort of flops than successes when you're buying those kind of players with that kind of price. But with Charlie Austin, you know, for a club like QPR last year, he scored quite a few goals. I mean,
well, I was saying to you earlier, I'm gutted that West Ham personally didn't go for him. I really thought we should have done. I think it would have been a good signing for us. I know I was saying just a minute ago, 15 million is a lot of money, but it is.
I mean, if Danny Ings can get a transfer to someone, you think Charlie Austin could, wouldn't you? I mean,
Ings was a free transfer, you see.
I think
the Tribune is about 3.75 million, which is peanuts. Take the gamble, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you've got a point about the Belgian players, but I think any of these players around Europe are just going to cost a lot less than a British player.
And there's
a lot of them over here now, and
They're taking over, mate.
It's just too expensive. You try and put a British 11 together, British and Irish, sorry, Zach. I mean, include them as well. They cost,
yeah,
like, British is worth, like, that's more than 20 million worth that already after, what, 10 games?
Yeah.
They put these prices on people straight
away.
It's true.
You know, it's like Reece Oxford at West Ham, 16, had a blind at Arsenal. He's probably worth 20 million. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So is his mum.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. So we were just talking about the weekend's football, but Monday night football, it was...
It was a cracker, wasn't it?
A brilliant 0-0. I love a good 0-0 sometimes, like, you know, because that's sort of like when you can suss out decent football fans. And people go, oh, that was a bit of a bore last night.
I mean,
you go, how can you say it was a boring game?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of
there were no
it.
Goals. Yeah, absolutely not even one goal. What's going on?
I knew you were American.
I'm going to America.
No, it's fascinating because, I mean, Liverpool battered them first half. I know they had offside the goal to Salah Ramsey.
It was 10 shots of goal to one or something in the first half, wasn't it? Mental.
Obviously, there's a big talking point about Ramsey's disallowed goal.
Which was a perfectly good call.
Yeah. It was a perfect goal,
really.
I did feel for them there.
After that,
they didn't deserve it in the first half. Liverpool were absolutely phenomenal.
In the second half, one of the defenders nearly, like, put... I mean, he nearly... kidnapped Benteke. It was ridiculous. He put his arms all around him and
Zillian Gilberto. Is that his name?
I can't remember which player it was now, but he had both arms around him. I think it was a clear penalty.
I know there was one in the first half when he kept his back at his ankle, but he actually won the ball. They showed like when he went through him, but he won the ball.
Yeah. But Arsenal looked at the back. I mean, I had to make two changes, but shambolic.
Yeah.
When they really got bullied, and Chambers had a shocker. I know he's a good young player, he had an absolute shocker.
Chris, well,
the Brazilian boy was awful first half, and he actually got better as it went on.
Yeah.
I don't think Wenger's addressed anything from in the last
year.
They're still two players away. Okay,
they always show off one thing: a holding midfielder, and actually one that could bully other midfielders, and a really, really good striker. All right, they've got Sanchez, great, but I'm talking a monster striker.
He's a good player, but they need better. Coughlin is a very good player, but they need better. Because if something happens to him, Arteta comes in and it's not the same type of player. Doesn't address anything.
Can we just interrupt there 1 second? It's just if you're hearing any noise in the background, there's a hip hop event above the sound checking for.
That's what we're hiding.
That's actually my ringtone.
Just ignore the background noise. And Rob was talking about Arteta.
Yeah. Just ignore that. Yeah, the dreadful music that's playing here at Nambuka. Good advert for
it's great music.
Yeah. We'll be here partying all night.
So Arsenal yet again are two players away again from being a side that can challenge for the title.
Yeah,
I mean, is he going to address that by the end of August?
I mean, again,
they've got injuries at the back, like they have at the start every season. Anyway, they had a good second half and they could have won the game. Liverpool, I thought they were excellent last night, really did. I think they looked so solid.
Yeah.
That boy Gomez, left back, looks blinding. Benteke is a handful.
Absolutely,
that midfield's a lot more solid about Gerrard.
Yeah.
Controversial, but there's much more shape about it. That Emre Can looks brilliant in there.
Well, he's under pressure this season.
One of the best games I've had for Liverpool last night.
Yeah.
And Lovren's improved.
And Coutinho looks like he could be that game-changing player.
And have some comedy goal, just to throw in. Balotelli's gone back to AC Milan. Have you seen that on loan? For a season on loan?
Yeah.
What a waste of a human being that man is. I mean, he is an absolute idiot.
Yeah, but he gives his headlines, you know?
I would
like to see him
West Ham. He's an absolute moron there, right? Well, how much talent has he got? You know, like real, and he's just his head. And how can he go and say, you know, I'm here to win?
Though.
You said that at Liverpool and you were dog shit.
The thing about Balotelli though, I always think he only has the talent if you allow him to do kind of nothing else in the game except when he gets the ball whacking in from third.
I said this about him before.
Do you want a fag? He was hanging around the goalpost.
I've said this about him before. I've watched loads of him and he plays well with a partner up front.
Yeah.
Okay, he will not like close people down, he'll walk about.
Yeah.
That's why you have to play him as a part of a front two in whatever system. Look at his goal scoring record in Italy, it's superb.
Yeah.
AC Milan last time, that's why they signed him back.
But Man City, it was good, from Aguero,
the first time, a good record.
I'd slightly dispute that though, Rob, because I looked at his goal scoring record in Italy and it wasn't phenomenal.
Did he play football?
Yeah, I mean, he was like getting a goal every two, maybe every,
well, every two
to three games.
Yeah.
Which is good, but I think it's a bit different in Italy. You don't get players scoring 30, 40 goals.
AC Milan is better than 1-2.
I have to look at statistics now, but I think if you want to, nowadays, if you want a player that's nothing else, they've got to be scoring nearly a goal a game. You know,
yeah.
I think that's all.
Just the fee, you know how much his wages are astronomical. They're like 100 grand a week. It's such a shame. Why he angers me is that he showed at City that he is a good player. He can do it. He showed at Italy he's a good player. His head, the attitude of the bloke has just got to change.
I think football is changing, and I think it's changing rapidly. And I think Balotelli is almost getting lost in the past because you can't afford a player nowadays who just does nothing else.
Well, we said, I think...
You need a player who contributes all around.
I agree with that, because I'm reading reports about someone who's very similar to him when it comes to his attitude in a football pitch, or as Rabban Morrison.
Yeah.
I just read the reports in Italy. He's got an injury at the moment on his side.
Yeah.
But I look to see what he's doing all the time.
Yeah.
Pioli, Lazio man, has said he will get his chance when he's fully fit, but he's got to do more off the ball.
And that
upsets me at times. I just think, let the boy play. But it's the modern game, like you're saying.
They want you to
all around the pitch be closing down.
There's maybe one or two people who like get excused out there, the Ronaldo and Messi, perhaps, who. I mean, once they're on the ball, I mean, you know they're going to be something's going to happen. And Morrison probably isn't at their level. I mean, yeah. I don't think even you would dispute that Morrison's not quite on the level of Messi and Ronaldo. But no. maybe he'll get there eventually. Because he's
another
talent.
Player with yeah, but it's another player with the head issue. You know, it's not you know. Football, you know, having the ability is great, yeah. But you've got to get. It has 50% of the work. If you don't put in the work, you won't get it.
Zach is hitting the nail on the head. I think it's the modern game. Like, you literally, like, say that word literally. Hate using that word. Yeah. Well, you can't.
You're talking literally now. Yeah.
You can't get away with like these players that just do nothing off the ball. Mm.
It's the training, it's everything. Like Di Canio was saying about, he was in an interview recently, and he talked about his time at Sunderland. All right, I know it was a bit disastrous, but he was saying that was it true that he was asked the question, did he actually ban tomato ketchup from the footballers? He said, well, yeah, I did. He said, because they don't have this pleasure. They earn enough money. He said, they should be completely looking after their bodies and just focusing on football. He said, I can't stand footballers that are focus on other things. I think you should be, yeah, you're getting paid enough, and also your career is so short. You know, you've got what, 10 years of really decent pro football.
I think Balotelli,
10 years, isn't it?
40 years after you retired, you spend all your millions of
pounds. Well, you look at Balotelli and Robert Morrison's physique, there's nothing more than to. I don't even drink. I think it's just other with them, it's just something.
That's true,
yeah.
Yeah,
they're more distracted with mates and silliness and girlfriends and things. Absolutely. And really, you should be focused on football.
They've got the physiques of boxers, haven't they? You know, yeah. I mean,
but you look at the likes of Ronaldo, right? Everyone, all right, he's a winner. You know, that's why he's at the top. All right, I know his abilities are outstanding, but he's a winner because he focuses 100% on football. It's all he cares about. Yeah. He wants to win. You know, look at the man. He's pure muscle. He's not interested in anything else but being a good footballer. Mm. But you get other players like Balotelli who make me sick. You think, you could be a really top striker, but you're so more interested in other crap like cars.
I'll tell you what, though, he's achieved a lot more than most strikers. I mean, you look at the European Championships, the one 3 years ago. Here's one of the players at the tournament. Those two goals, well, he destroyed Germany in that semi-final.
That's what I mean.
You could be churlish about it and say, yeah, he had two belting goals which paid off, and you could say it was luck in a way. I mean, but I don't know.
He's that type of player that can.
He can change the game, but he needs the team to.
But
he needs to be the focus of the team, and everything's got to work towards giving him the ball. And with the clubs he's been at recently, well, Liverpool especially, it's not necessarily the way they play football.
He's a poor fit for Liverpool.
Yeah, he was. I mean, really, Rodgers really a rough silly
to do. He just doesn't. 16
I think because they got they lost Suarez and they had to get some strikers in. He looked at me, the pedigree. It just didn't work.
He belongs in a slow pace league, and going back to it, he's the best thing for him. I bet he does well.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we were talking about Arsenal.
I know, I was going to say, and so facto, Arsenal shit. No, quickly touching on Arsenal though, Wenger, do you think he's a bit naive? Because I know he's been quoted this week. Gary Neville says he's naive in the transfer. I slightly agree with him, you know. I do think he is a bit naive, Wenger. He's so reluctant to spend like
spent
on 30 the right
million
player.
On Sanchez, he's been 40 million in Ozil. I mean, I think nowadays fans of clubs have got unrealistic expectations about you want to spend 50 million on every single player. And
I don't think it's the players he's bought. Players he's bought are fine, I think. I mean, although he needs to learn how to buy a centre half, I think he's only
bought
two.
A bit of muscle on the team. I think they'd be all right. I just think they're just lacking that.
I feel
commander.
Why not add physical power to what they've undoubtedly already got, which is, you know, loads of flair, you know, great intricate passing.
I mean, Cech is only signing this summer, is that right?
Well, what a game he had though.
I mean, last season it was obvious they needed a couple of players to get onto that next level to be challenging for the title. I mean, Cech would probably save them 7 or 8 points a season ahead of the goalkeepers they had.
Yeah.
But they probably need a bit more than that, you know. And they probably need another goal scorer. I mean, Giroud I quite like, actually. I think he's a good player and he scored a decent amount of goals.
Yeah.
Goes back to, you know, what Arsenal want to challenge for the title, so you have to compare them to the rivals. I think I said it last week. So they've got Giroud, who's an excellent player, but then Chelsea got Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Man City have got Aguero. Man United have got Rooney, who I think is just underneath those two, but still top class, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where they are with that. And also, you look at the injuries that they've got at the back at the moment. In comes the Brazilian boy. Is it Gilberto?
Gabriel.
So he comes in and Chambers sent them off, and they're all over the shop. If Chelsea get two injuries, if Terry and Cahill are out, Zouma comes in, and Ivanovic moves to centre half.
That's where the player goes to
right back, and the new left back they just brought comes in. Yeah,
so the problem is then when you are signing world class players, it's very tough to keep happy, isn't it? You know, do you want
to
be?
And we have to still factor in the fact that Chelsea and City, to have got a bit more financial clout than
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but Wenger hasn't. He just hasn't seemed to identify the fact that he needs like a real powerhouse in midfield. Like a, you know, Coquelin's a good player. Yeah. He's not a great player. Yeah. Get a great one. That William Carvalho is available.
Well, they tried it with Arteta, didn't they?
I think it's just left Monaco or somewhere. I mean, they're on a plate for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so West Ham's better player than him.
Yeah, I mean, he's top draw. I agree. I think, yeah, just the lack of
he's
something
naive.
At Arsenal. I think this window, like Henri said the other night, this window is so important for Arsenal. They've got to buy now.
Got,
if they're going to change the title, they've got to make
a
change.
We've got 1 week as of tonight, though, to see what happens.
Yeah, so, yeah. Maybe Wenger knows he's got Benzema or something, you know.
I don't think that's going to happen. No, that thing he posted yesterday, this is my home, all you clowns.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Saying, yeah. And in the Mildred kit, and you're saying, I'm here, like, he ain't going anywhere.
So he's made the most public. Carlton
Cole is available.
He could do a Fabian Delph and. Yeah, that'll be astonishing.
But yeah, if Arsenal can get someone that standing up front and that midfield player,
yeah,
then they have a serious chance. Mm. But right now, no.
Yeah,
I think with the start they made as well, it's going to be hard, isn't it? Yeah. Psychologically,
gentlemen,
anyway.
Super Six time.
Yeah,
and right. It was pretty tight last week. I won. Well, the first week I'm 4 points. Rob's on 3.
That was the first week we did it, wasn't
first
it?
First week, yeah. So I won 4.
Under the relegation zone.
I've got the other page scores that we'd got on. But
I trust you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's completely rigged. So we've got 6 games, all Premier League games as well this week.
Yay.
So we'll kick things off with Villa Sunderland. Now, Villa, I've tipped them to go down. I still think they're going to struggle big time this season. Sunderland, I think, are destined to go down as well. So I think this is going to be a battle for the bottom.
Villa might be getting Julian Lescott, which is going to change everything.
Well, that will as well. I mean, look, everyone loves a bit of Lescott at the back.
I mean, the thing about it, he's a relatively solid defender and he scores goals as well, which is, could be
sometimes a bit of experience for a team that's struggling. This is exactly what you need.
Yeah, maybe. Well, with Villa Sunderland, I'm going to go with draw here because I think these are two struggling teams. So I'm going to go with 1-0. Zachary, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Villa win.
1-0 Villa, yeah?
I saw them against United full 90 minutes and they looked tidy enough of the lack of penetration, but they were playing Manchester United. I think when they're playing Sunderland,
they'll get
a few chances and they might take one.
0-0.
You going 0-0, yeah? Rob, 0-0. Right. Bournemouth Leicester. Well, this is you, Zach.
Yeah, this is a relegation 6-pointer, isn't it, for the team at the top of the table?
Yeah, it's just they're both in form, aren't they, really? I know Bournemouth only got their first 3 points, but they've looked alright.
I mean, Leicester, we all.
Who's that guy on the right wing for Leicester who's been like the player of the season so far? I've forgotten his name. He's got 4 goals, I think.
I thought Vardy, but he's a striker.
No,
he's
a.
Begins with M.
Mahrez
or something like that. Yeah, brilliant. Been superb.
Yeah, he's been really good.
So it's at Bournemouth's place.
I'm going to go for a sneaky 2-1 to Leicester.
Really? They're going to lose Bournemouth at home. Okay, quite interesting.
I think Bournemouth are going to have trouble defensively. I think they look on the basis of last Saturday that they can score goals. Mind you, West Ham are abysmal, and they could have scored more than 4. But
I agree.
But I think Leicester seem to be quite neat and tidy, and I think they'll sneak it.
What about you, Rob? What are you thinking of that?
Bournemouth win.
Yeah?
And they carry on from last week at their first home win.
Yeah.
Yeah,
2-1. 2-1, yeah. I agree with you. I think they will win this one. I really think they'll carry it on. I think they're going to sneak it 1-0, I think. Chelsea Palace, I mean, should be an all. This is you, Rob.
You want me to go out first?
Yeah,
I think Chelsea might click into gear. I love Palace, by the way. Players they bought, Pardew, the way they play.
Mm.
Brilliant, but I just think Chelsea might click into gear, might have a rocket from the manager from the start of the season. I think it might be 4-0.
Really, yeah? 4-0. I don't think, I can't go anything else on the Chelsea win here. I've got a feeling it's going to be tight though. I think it might be 2-1.
I was going to say 2-1.
You can as well. There's no rules to this game.
I know, but there are no rules. Just to mix up it.
You did 8-4 for one of those last week. And you got a point for that, by the way.
I it's a 3-goal win. I was very close. If both teams scored another 4. I think Bamford is going to score for Palace.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
But I think Chelsea will score 3.
Really?
By the way, is Bamford Irish?
So what are you saying, 3-1?
He has played for under-20s, I think, but and then he played for England as well, and he says he might switch back. Mm-hmm. If we've got Grealish and Bamford and Dan Crowley at Arsenal, then we could have a good team in 5 years' time.
Yeah. So what are you saying then? 3-1?
3-1.
3-1 Chelsea. Right, I'm back on starting in Liverpool, West Ham. Oh, God. Well, I think it's been 57 years since we've won there. So I'm not going to say West Ham are going to win, but I really hope we do get a bit of fire up the arse.
I mean,
it's only been 2 games. I'm going mad, but I think we're going to grind out a 0-0.
I'm pretty sure we did this fixture last year as well, and you mentioned that.
Yeah, it was 56 years radio, then.
Yeah.
That's 57. I've gone for a 0-0. Zach, you're up next.
I'm going to go 3-0. Liverpool, sorry, lads. But I think on the basis of the first half at the Emirates.
Yeah, Zach, can you leave the room?
I mean, look, if Bournemouth are going to score 4 at the Bullingame, Liverpool are going to score a few at Anfield, aren't they?
From a West Ham point of view, I hope they're going to go back to what they did at Arsenal, or try and do that. Tompkins are coming right back, Jensen suspended.
Yeah.
Try and remember what they did there, which was an unbelievable performance.
Yeah,
something out of it, but I just feel
play well was usually.
Just think Liverpool really impressed them last night. I think they went 2-0.
Really,
they were clean sheet for them as well. Yeah.
So that must have been quite hard to say. Man City, Watford.
Watford have started pretty solidly as well, haven't they? I mean,
there's not really been a really poor team, is there?
Yeah
it wouldn't be one team you could say.
It's Sunderland look pretty.
Good.
Has anybody lost more than
Villa? Dick, old fat Dick.
Nobody's lost more than 3 goals in a game.
Yeah, looks like
I think that's about to change. I'm going to go 5-0.
Oh, brilliant.
Watford.
5-0. Okay. That's actually a good shout. I mean, Rob, you're up next. What are you saying?
Yeah, I like Watford, but I can't see anything other than a City win. Where they play. Yeah, well, actually, I think that might be near the mark. I'm going to go 3-0.
3-0. Right, I'm going to go with 4-1. Ooh. You watched the Watford win that. That's what's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. Rob, this is you kicking things off. Stoke City, West Brom.
Stoke City, West Brom.
Stoke
Derby. Derby match. So, take that into consideration. You can go either way.
Yeah.
But you've got a fancy Stoke, haven't you? West Brom just signed that Rondon up front. He's a player we should have gone for. And they're going to go Stoke to nick that, I think, 2-1.
I just hope they
win. Do I predict away wins? I don't, do I?
No, you're
sensible.
I think I might go for one away win, actually, just because I haven't predicted any in the last 2 weeks. West Brom 1-0.
1-0, West Brom.
There's got to be one away win, isn't there?
Right, this is me, Stoke City. I think it's going to be a draw. I think I'm actually quite impressed with both teams. I think I hate Pulis and his cap. I think it's going to be 2-2 this one.
I think West Brom looked like they could concede quite a few goals this season, I think, and Stoke City, some good signings, got to click into gear.
And you just love Mark Hughes. You've got a weird little.
He's a United legend. What do you expect?
Shaqiri looks good players. I mean,
Shaqiri looks fantastic. I mean, he's just got quality written all over him. So I'm going to go 3-0.
3-0. Right. Well, we'll see how we get on.
Got some hammerings there, haven't I? 3-0.
I know. It's going to be a good, exciting weekend, according to that. Anyway, so that's it.
We never did the United score either. But.
Well, that's it. It's not on there, is it?
Who are they playing? United.
Swansea away.
Oh, right.
Swansea have played superbly so far.
Actually, would be a tough game for them.
It's tricky, yeah.
Our place to go, Swansea. Yeah. It really is. And United aren't exactly. Oh, right. They're doing really well in terms of points. I think they might.
That Montero might be the missing link for United, on the wing. Montero, Swansea.
Oh, right.
Okay, yes. I love your new player going back to United. I like your, is it Memphis?
Memphis.
Oh, he is.
I think he's still doing a bit too much trickery and a bit too many back heels and stuff like that. We'll do the back heels when you're 4-0 up, lads, you know.
You probably saying about Ronaldo about 10 years ago, weren't you?
Yeah. I was. And it would have been justified.
And he turned out to be really shit.
When he got better, he changed the stupidity and he knuckled down and he thought, I'll do a back heel when we're winning 3-0,
No, he just does it. Well,
no, he does it anytime once. They're scoring 8-9 goals a game. So they scored 8 goals and 9 goals last season. They scored 7 goals a couple of times. I think at one point last season I worked out between Barcelona and Real Madrid they'd scored more than 4 goals on 26 occasions.
Jesus, it's just that's insane. That league's really, not like this league.
It'd be really interesting seeing both in, I don't know half, obviously, but seeing both in this league just to see what would happen.
Whether
Bournemouth could get into them,
But I think if you look at it, they scored 4 goals in Europe, a lot more than any other clubs as well.
They lost though, didn't they, in the first leg of their, is it the...
Super Cup. 4-0. Yeah.
4-0. Yeah, and they had their first team out, which is... That is a bad day at the office.
Yeah.
Anyway, gents, that's it for this week.
We should talk about Neymar, shouldn't we?
Next week, we'll hopefully be in West Ham.
It goes through 150 million hours.
Excellent. All right, cheers. Yeah. We'll be back next week then.
Yeah, and if I win the Euro Millions on Friday, then I'll be back. Cocaine Radio 8:30.